The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to another week in the month of January. Final full week of the month of January. Honestly, where did the first month of the year go, huh? Seriously. Next Monday, February 1st, ladies and gentlemen. I am so happy today. I am. You know why? Rafael Esparza's in studio today. How about that, Jordan? Rafael Esparza decided to join us today, and it's actually sprinkling outside. Partly sunny. He's got the quarter zip pullover. You got the long sleeve. I decided to dress up a bit, not wear the sleeveless. So I got the ESPN college shirt today for y'all. Right, what about that?
Well, Rafael, I'm glad that you're
Do you have your mic plugged in? Turn your mic on.
You're right.
There you
go. I don't know why this was turned off. He turns this off. It's always on.
Good night, America. I'm out of here.
Rafael, at some point, the internship will, that it should be like step one, turn your mic on when you're not using a handheld.
Why does it even have an
I don't know. I never use a handheld. So, yeah, but you would probably, you know, it's kind of like the checklist. You know, like when the pilot's about to take off, they kind of go through a checklist.
Oh, well.
Yeah. we don't want to hear that from a pilot. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Forgot to turn the engine on. Sorry.
Sorry
about that. Anyway, what were you saying again?
Happy to have Rafael in the studio.
Isn't it nice? How are you?
Pretty good. I made a pit stop before I had to go to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, you had a big weekend.
You could say that a little bit. I mean, we had
very busy weekend.
Busy weekend of NBA, NHL, college hoops, UFC 257, football.
I legitimately am in a good mood. I am.
He's the greatest quarterback
of
all time.
Well, no, because here's the thing. Honestly, we'll get into that. Obviously, the AFC and NFC championship games took place. No Saints, of course. You can be bummed out about that.
Didn't play yesterday?
Pelicans are struggling. They got a game tonight right here in your home for Pelicans basketball. We'll get into all those different things. But you know what? The main reason I had a weekend where I didn't work. It was nice. And I got to just enjoy time with the puppy, the kid, the wife. It was nice. We just kind of relaxed, had fun, made a dish over the weekend, you know, on Saturday night. Just got to kind of, you know, focus on just family and just yourself, and it's kind of nice.
It must be
if
nice.
That makes any sense.
Huh? Stood in front of his front door and watch
UFC. I invited y'all. I always said you could do that. I said you guys
could
do that.
You did not invite us.
Well, I mean, y'all are more than welcome to stop by and, you know, whatever, watch whatever
you
want.
You don't like us.
Yeah. No. Anyway, we got plenty to get into today. A couple of questions of the day. Lots of different topics. 800-998-1003. So let me lay down on the line quickly, and we'll kind of get into some of our topics off and running. Larry Holder, next segment, we'll talk about, obviously, Super Bowl 55. Rafael, Kansas City and Tampa Bay, the line going into Super Bowl 55 in 2 weeks.
It is 3-56. They have the Kansas City Chiefs are the favorite. We'll probably see 3 for the rest, the rest of the week. It opened up 3.5 because the odds makers, including ourselves, wanted Tampa Bay money, which we got right away when we put up 3.5. It was just flooded of TB money. So now we can just sit back and gather all the Kansas City Chiefs money because Kansas City's the greatest football team to ever play.
Well, take us behind the curtain here. Like, how and why do the guys come up with that line? I mean, because essentially with 3, are you kind of saying it's sort of even? Is it based on the quarterbacks or defense? Like, why 3, not why not 4, 5, 6, 7?
Well, if we made it 4, 5, 6, 7, which the public said, oh, why aren't the Chiefs the greatest team to ever play higher? Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, you're playing in Tampa Bay, which is Tampa Bay. Did they get to sit in their home for the next 2 weeks where they don't have to deal with ticket issues? Well, we don't have to deal with ticket issues, but travel issues and all that, where they're just they're at home preparing. So that's a lot to do with the reason why 3. And we knew Tampa Bay money would come in first, no matter if it was 3 points or higher. And we knew if it was anything lower, we would get Kansas City money. So we wanted to get that Tampa Bay money right away because the last game people saw yesterday was the Chiefs demolishing Buffalo's defense. So we knew Kansas City money was going to come in no matter what. So we kind of made an adjustment on the line thinking, let's grab this Tampa Bay money now so we can have a cushion all rest of the week. And then the last week, starting maybe next Monday, we can concentrate on getting that two-way action.
It is going to be interesting to sort of see how the storyline sort of set up on this, right? I mean, it's already, goat versus baby goat and stuff. We're going to get into things that we took away from that. I'll throw that out there as a question of the day and also a, you know, a topic. What's your one big takeaway from the two games? Your one big takeaway from the two games. Michael Rothenstein is going to join us coming up bottom of the hour. Lions ESPN reporter. Why we, well, we'll tell you about that in a second. It's called Matthew Stafford, right? He and the Lions, Raphael, that agreed over the weekend to mutually part ways to seek a trade for his services. Lots of teams already reportedly either interested or at least fan bases and a lot of media members throwing out possible destinations. The Saints logo is being posted on a lot of different graphics that show Matthew Stafford. We're going to get into that discussion, Raphael, with Larry and you listening, because I feel that it's a debate. I have already, since that came out over the weekend, have heard from both sides. Yes and no, but Matthew Stafford, you surprised? I'm not. No. That he's 32, going to be 33, I think, this month, right?
Yeah, I was actually shocked that he didn't do it last year. Okay. He had grievances with the head coach and no longer there. And he's had some bad teams, and he's fairly young as a quarterback, especially now. A quarterback can play in their 40s because the way they protect him so much. So he's probably has a good 3 to 5 years left. Put him on a team that can win something. I think the Colts fit really well. I think the Saints fit really well. Mm-hmm. San Francisco's going to be a big. No one's talking about Denver, and no one's talking about Pittsburgh. Those are two spots I think can land well with one of these big names out there.
That's the thing about this, because last week and almost 2 weeks now, we've been hearing a lot about Deshaun Watson and talking about it. But literally, it's like 2025 thing. I saw a national writer write this morning, is any quarterback happy with his franchise that he is in right now?
To
kind of look at it. Yeah, exactly. Well, Pat Mahomes and Tom Brady. But look, you mentioned some of those teams, and I want to talk about that here at 12:45. We'll go over some of these teams that could possibly be looking for quarterbacks, because it isn't, the Saints are not alone looking for a veteran quarterback to go that route. But Jordan, it's one of our questions of the day, right? It's very simple. Do you think the Saints, Nick Underhill from New Orleans Football, the latest, there are a lot of people that cover the team, flat out writing, Raphael, the Saints should seek to try to trade for Matthew Stafford. Do you think the Saints should try to go get Matthew Stafford?
I think they should try to get a quarterback that can throw down. What we saw the last two games, the deep ball and over 20-yard pass is very successful in the NFL.
The question is Matthew Stafford.
Oh, yeah. Matthew Stafford, yeah, definitely. But there's other names I think that would suit well as in this uniform as well.
All right, so you stand on that. Yes. I do as well. I think it makes sense. He's 32. He's got another 4 or 5 years. He can be your perfect bridge quarterback in that situation. Now, does that mean you don't try to bring back Jameis Winston?
If you strike, no disrespect to famous Jameis, I would make him my plan C or D if you okay. strike out.
All right.
I'm not sold on Hill.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think Jameis is your backup.
Yeah.
And I think Hill is what he is.
Yes.
I think Hill is a nice weapon and somebody to have.
What I saw when he was starter, he does not have that deep ball. When he did throw that deep ball, it looked like Peyton Manning's deep ball when he was in the Broncos. It was just flopping around. I don't trust his deep ball.
Because my big takeaway from the games, right, 31-26 Tampa over the Packers and 38-24 Chiefs over the Bills. My one big takeaway of many, there were several, okay? Got to have weapons. But I don't think you could have watched yesterday afternoon and evening and not come away with this big takeaway. You better have a playmaking quarterback.
Yes.
I mean, you better have a playmaking quarterback. Rodgers made some silly throws. I mean, in coverage, in the weather, they look completely unflapped. You better have a playmaking quarterback. To me, a playmaking quarterback, Raphael, isn't just arm talent. It's being able to handle situations, make plays with his legs. That didn't mean scramble. None of the four quarterbacks scrambled.
Well, Josh Allen.
Well, yeah, but yes. Okay. You're right. Allen did. He had the longest run. But for the most part, you have to make plays out of the pocket. You need to extend the player to and have that threat. But, let's take the first game. Brady in that first half was making incredible throws. And when it counted on those third downs late in the fourth quarter, he made a great throw. He knew where to go with the football. You better have a playmaking quarterback, period. And when you watch the Chiefs and Bills, the Bills were even in that game. Because of Josh Allen and his arm talent. I mean, you have to have that. Would you say those four teams, and you could argue if Tampa is or not with the Saints, but there were one of the four top teams in the NFC, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you had the four best teams, arguably, if you want to throw in Tampa, at least whatever. But that's it. In the AFC and NFC, those were the top teams. throughout the year that won the most games, that had the quarterbacks and all that. You better have one.
Yeah.
I mean, you better have one.
Tampa Bay's reminded me when the Giants beat the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
They were you know, mediocre all season long, and then all of a sudden in the playoffs, they win all those road games. Eli Manning was just unstoppable. And what's Tampa Bay? Tampa Bay won all those games, the playoff games, on the road. They didn't have not one game at home.
Now, something that's getting a lot of attention, Rafael, is after the game in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, who, again, remember, last year they drafted the quarterback with the first overall pick.
Did he play not one snap this year?
Well, again. So what's crazy is right afterwards, he sort of sounded like a guy that doesn't legitimately know if his future is with Green Bay, is what he had to say.
A lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. That's what's sad about it most. Getting this far, obviously there's going to be an end to it at some point, whether we make it past this one or not, but just the uncertainty is tough, and the finality of it all.
Now, Rafael, he has 3 years left on that deal at Green Bay. Is legitimately, when he says that my future's uncertain, do you think that is, for that's just maybe after the loss he's saying, look, I don't know, do you think it's more of him saying, look, I don't know if they want me or not. This is what Adam Schefter had to say this morning.
He sounded like a guy who was preparing to walk away from Green Bay. Now, it's right after the game, Greeny, so it's a highly emotional time. It's a long, trying season for everybody. Everybody's trying to get through it, and clearly Aaron Rodgers, as he himself said, wants to step back and gather some time and take some time to make a decision. But let's just break this down, right? He himself said last week that his future was a beautiful mystery. Those are the words that he used, a beautiful mystery. We know that he was not particularly enthralled with the team's selection of Jordan Love. We know that he's at the point of his career where clearly he's frustrated with these playoff defeats. Now, again, let's get ahead of ourselves. He's under contract to the Green Bay Packers for 3 more seasons. So they control him for 3 more seasons. Unless... Aaron Rodgers says, I'm not going to play there anymore. I'm going to retire. I'm going to go rogue here and force my way out of there, and I want to be traded. And I want to be traded, let's just say, to Southern California, where I own a home, 20 minutes from the Rams facility, where I want to be traded to the Bay Area, where my football career started. Now, I'm not telling you that it goes that way. I'm just telling you that was an unusual press conference. There were a lot of emotions. And he has to take some time and step back and figure out what he wants to do. And people think the Packers control him when, in fact, Aaron Rodgers can flip it rather quickly by basically saying, I'm not going to play there, or I'm not going to play anymore. Trade me. That would be his option. I'm not telling he's going to that. I'm just telling you there's a lot of different ways this can go during the course of the offseason. But that was a highly emotional loss. And he, I think, wants to step back, clear his head, and figure out what he wants to do going.
So, Rafael, let's just go with that. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is back with the Packers next year?
I mean, he just got off a devastating home loss yesterday. If I had to.
Now, 1-4, by the way, in championship games.
We put a prop up already before I left this morning. Aaron Rodgers starting QB for the Packers in week 1. And everyone bet yes, -$5. So I think he stays. I think they promise him everything he wants. Better trip.
One more year.
One more
in
year.
Green Bay.
Yeah. And I think because he's got the talent on offense.
Right.
I mean, their secondary played really well. I mean, maybe get some better linebackers. Look at maybe one more offensive line. Maybe some more some wide receivers. Because some of those wide receivers dropped passes yesterday that could maybe change the total. So maybe look for one more piece. I think he stays.
It's interesting because obviously it was a topic last night and this morning at the gym. People were like, do you go for a guy like Rodgers or do you go for a guy like Stafford? Now, again, that player needs to want to come here as well. What Schefter said is an educated assumption or I guess speculation. He's from the California area. It would make so much sense for him to go to the Rams with a guy like McVay, offensive minded, pretty good D-line, what have you. And we know, we've talked all season, they're not really in love with Goff moving forward. And we've talked about Jimmy G. Doesn't look like they're really in love with him as well. You pair Shanahan with Rodgers, McVay with Rodgers, that makes a ton of sense. Now, can that happen? Like, what would they have to give Green Bay? Because obviously Green Bay holds some cards.
Yeah.
You don't want an unhappy, unhappy guy. I don't know how that works contractually. Schefter says I can retire. I don't think that guy's retiring.
No.
So he can force a trade. But you're still going to have to give up for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, if he goes to the Rams, that means there's Goff out there to go for another team. If he goes to the 49ers, that's Jimmy G now that's out there trying to find a home. No matter what, if one piece is really going to just start knocking down the QB dominoes, then it's going to be a crazy summer for quarterbacks.
As we go to our first break, is it crazy? I can't think of another offseason where quarterbacks changing uniforms in cities, like legit starting quarterback. So many teams are legit looking for some, or they'll be looking for somewhere else to go. Feels like the NBA.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It feels like NBA free agency. It really honestly does on the offseason. Larry Holder, we'll chat with him how that correlates and translates into the Saints, another possible coach leaving. We'll talk about that here as well. The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. I've been bad. I've been good. That was
Texas. You're invited to start 2021 right now.
Right now.
On the new Toyota of your choice at Homa's number one dealer, Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Start browsing our online prices at GregLeBlancToyota.com for low online prices. You can get your top dollar trade-in value and low monthly payments with the click of a mouse. It's just that easy. If you're a new or returning customer, our friendly staff at Greg LeBlanc Toyota will make you feel right at home. Remember, when you go to Greg, you get the deal. Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Homa's number one new car dealer. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengell from Men's Total Health, and last year I paid them a visit at the clinic. It's in Metairie on Vets behind the Fidelity Building on Ferran. I went to get tested and see if I had low T to get an overall look at my health. Low T can cause insomnia, brain fog, and overall self-confidence issues. Go get tested. On-site labs give you the results that visit. So with the new year, resolve to get back to being the old you. Hormone balance can help you be your best self. They accept all major insurances, so visit menstotalhealth.net today and let them know the Sports Hangover sent you.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
800-998-1003. Hour 1 is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. Larry Holder, The Athletic, covers the Saints in the NFL, among other things. We'll chat with him now this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, man. How are you?
What up, Goosey?
You know, part of the Saints Nation is sitting there this morning going, you see, we could have gone up to Lambeau and went ourselves up there. Well, it was a beautiful day, bright sunshine. There was no snow. It didn't look that cold up there. When you watch that game, and we'll talk about the AFC Championship game next as well, but what was your one takeaway from that game in Green Bay yesterday?
Well, I thought that Tampa, their defensive front, look, they were able to kind of get some heat on Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, it's outside of that, and, you know, you see the fumbles and issues with Aaron Jones. And then, of course, Kevin King can't cover anyone. He just took a nap half the time and then pulls the shirt and gets the PI at the end. So, look, I think it also goes to show you that once Tampa started figuring their own team out, they're pretty hard to beat. And we've seen it now for, what are they, 7-0 in their last seven games, start off 7-5. Now they're 7-0. So, you know, It only took about a half season, a little more than a half season, but, you know, it just had to take them time to kind of become a team where they are. And, look, I think they're legitimate. I mean, I remember people just during the offseason saying, oh, we're not buying Tampa, this, that, and the other. Look, I just think Tampa's defense has improved.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Brady obviously made them a much better team than Jameis Winston did in those years.
And Larry, we always kept saying that, right? We were waiting for Tampa to take that next step. They had a ton of talent on the defensive side. And look, man, we saw it 2 weeks ago now, but Devin White and David, those linebackers are just difference makers. You add some of that help on the offensive, defensive line, like you mentioned. And man, I tell you what, if Mike Evans makes a few more plays, that game's not even that close, to be honest with you. So, your AFC game, what did you take out of that one?
I just thought the Bills would be able to put up more of a fight, and except at the end when they tried to fight. So when you look at it that way, I think that Patrick Mahomes, their offense is still hard to stop. I mean, we saw that firsthand in the Superdome. You know, that game, that score was closer than it looked just because they were able to get out ahead of the Saints. But still, I mean, it's hard to ask you to stop all of those pieces. And, like, I thought Buffalo's defense would have been good enough to keep them in the game. And, you know, like, Josh Allen was forcing things at the end. So do I think they're still be good next year? But, like, it just goes to show you that the Chiefs are still the cream of the crop in the AFC. And we will certainly have storylines aplenty in the Super Bowl, no doubt.
One of the things that I found interesting, and I let off the show with, and I'll ask you to combine both games, and if there was anything you can take away from both of them combined, mine was you better have a playmaking quarterback. I know that sounds kind of obvious, but the reason I say that, Larry, is you've seen this weekend, whether it's Matthew Stafford, which we'll talk about next, Aaron Rodgers after that game, what Tom Brady did in Tampa. I told Raphael going into the break, this almost feels like an NBA offseason coming up, with so many possible quarterbacks changing uniforms or teams looking for other quarterbacks that have one, like San Francisco, the Rams, and such.
Look, maybe the Eagles, too. Obviously, we know the Saints have some uncertainty at quarterback. Indianapolis, Phillip Rivers is retiring, and you've got all these teams who are going to want to draft a quarterback. And it's, you know, it kind of goes with the mantra that Sean Payton has said for so long. You know, so many teams, when you're stuck looking for one, you know, you're in trouble. And the Saints have not had that issue for 15 seasons. And, look, Indianapolis didn't really have that issue for a while with Peyton Manning and then Andrew Luck. And once, Andrew Luck suddenly retires and you don't have a major plan, you're stuck kind of hunting around, getting one-year rentals, and let's see what happens. So, yeah, like, and you know, we're all obviously Matthew Stafford, you know, people wondering about Deshaun Watson,
mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers, who put the spotlight a little bit, probably by design, on his part to keep Green Bay's feet to the fire. But, you know, you don't, there could be some unexpected moves. Like last year, Tom McBrady was, people didn't assume he was totally going to be out the door, and then he ends up in Tampa. And New England has no plan, and now they're hunting for a quarterback. What are they doing?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't have one, you're definitely behind the rest of the teams that do.
And you know what, Larry? There's so many teams still looking for years and years and years, right? For a while it was Kelly, and they finally found one in Josh. Miami's still looking, and they're still not happy with Tua and all that, but from Marino. And the reason I bring those guys up, Kelly, Marino, and others, and because, Larry, you're moving on from a Hall of Fame quarterback, not just a good quarterback or one that won an MVP, a Hall of Fame franchise-changing one. So it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks here. You brought up Stafford. Simple question. You're seeing a lot of people write about it, that the Saints should go make a play for him. Do you think they should?
I think they should, and I'm currently in the midst of writing my column on that, and it's the numbers. I'm doing a lot of on-field comparisons, with him and Breeze and Jameis Winston and where those numbers stack up. And, I think he should be someone you have to think hard about. Now, what's the cost? And I'm not just talking monetary, because you're going to have to trade for this guy. Mm-hmm. What are you going to be willing to give up? But if you get someone like him, and I think when you're doing these comparisons, I mean, you got to compare more Stafford to Winston, because Taysom Hill is just kind of he doesn't have the big, that kind of sample size. And Stafford and Winston are very similar style quarterbacks, you know, pocket guys, extremely good arm talent, but sometimes could be make mistakes. And so, which one would you rather have? And how much would you want to pay that person? What's the willing of the cost? So, but on the surface, Matt Stafford can play. That's not a question. He's been saddled with bad teams, this, that, and the other. And so, Gus, I'm not one to get overreact about a name. You know, I wasn't the one pumping Jadeveon Clowney last year. I was trying to say the Saints don't need that guy.
Right.
Stafford, I'm willing to make an exception here. And I'm curious, and other teams are going to want to make that exception too. Indy might be a team you look at that could do the same sort of thing. San Francisco, you mentioned them. So there will be a market for Stafford, there's no doubt.
Larry, Sean Payton's got a busy offseason here, man. Obviously, a lot of decisions on the roster, cap, things of that nature, but immediately, and he mentioned it last week when he spoke, Larry, it's about getting his staff together. Lots of guys getting promotions and getting jobs. The defensive side, pretty much empty there. Looks like Lombardi could be the offensive coordinator for one to two teams, possibly looking at what Seattle interviewed him. Chargers as well. Looks like he's maybe going in that direction. So you add him with Glenn. You add him with almost Nielsen, but you did wind up keeping him. But you do lose a couple of other guys that were big for him. So that's kind of the next step that he needs to take care of.
This reminds me of LSU without winning the championship last year. And now everybody's going to go their separate ways. So, Dan Campbell, taking Aaron Glenn with him. And then, yeah, Joe Lombardi is going to be headed to the Chargers. That's something that I was reporting could happen. Midpoint last week, did the interview process. The Chargers are going to be where he's headed to be the offensive coordinator. His second stint as an offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. Of course, he was with the Lions for a couple years. Where is Sean Payton going to turn? How many people maybe internally does he still feel like, all right, could maybe move up? But you're going to be bringing new faces into the building. I don't think there's any question about it. So, look, Sean knew this was coming. Like, he knew this day was coming. So, if anyone has a list, he certainly got a list. Not like, sorry, LSU fans, not like Coach O just, like, kind of dilly-dallying around. And No. Sean Payton's got a list. And Sean Payton has made, now, let's see, what is this? Sean Payton's third head coach because he had Doug Marrone. He had Dennis Allen, and now he's got Dan Campbell. Mm-hmm. And so, offensive coordinators are plenty. So, look, yeah, people know they could be successful in the NFL by coming to the Saints.
Larry, I think that's going to be the thing that we'll focus on here moving forward. I'll ask you this, and we'll delve into it as the offseason continues. Could you see the Saints as a way to get a hold of the cap situation, which I know they've done great at, and also improve their team, perhaps trading current members on their team that are starters and are under big contracts, Thomas and Pete?
Look, Andres Pete didn't have as bad of a season as people think. He's just not all pro great. So, look, I wrote a column that came out earlier this morning about that. And if you trade Michael Thomas, who are you throwing the ball to? That's my point. Like, who's there? And so when you look at it in that sense, I mean, they're going to have to make more moves in terms of contract extensions, restructurings, and just salary cap casualties. I mean, that's, to me, the route that they're going to have to take. The number seems large. They do have to make a lot of moves, but it might not totally hamper your team next year. But to me, and part of the column I wrote this morning, look, the Saints still have, they have issues they've got to figure out. You know, they've got to be able to have a passing game that can actually go downfield. They've got to be able to have receivers that can get separation, tight ends that can get separation, a reliable linebacker outside of one guy, you know. And then if you can't afford guys like Hendrickson and Sheldon Rankin, you got to fill those voids. Right. So, you know, it's something that, you know, we could talk about trading these guys, but they got issues all over the map, and it doesn't just have to do with money. I mean, they've got issues where they've got – their offense has got to get better. I mean, it let them down a decent bit this year, and, you know, that's kind of made the Saints where they are right now, home watching for the Super Bowl.
Larry Holder, The Athletic, thank you for joining us and talking a little bit about the NFL and your New Orleans Saints. Thank you, sir.
All right, good to see you, brother.
Here he goes. Quick break. We come back. We'll go to Detroit. Mike Rothenstein is going to join us. And
Detroit basketball.
No, we're talking football. We're talking football.
I know, but I used to go to Piston games all the time.
Okay, I got you. What are you shaking your head about over here? We'll talk to you as well coming up. This is Sports Hangover and ESPN New Orleans.
Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Set yourself up for success when planning your next event, whether it's wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert. Joe Septic Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joe Septic Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom, air-conditioned trailers, anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joe Septic at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
Any credit card can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. It's like getting one of those birthday cards that's shaped like cash, so you already know there's cash inside before opening it. But in this case, it's stuffed with your first year cash back match, and you don't even have to send a thank you note. Cash back match. Only by Discover Card. Learn more at discover.com/match. Discover. Something brighter.
Hi, I'm Casey Gisclair.
And I'm Stan Gravois.
Join us every Saturday right here for the Sports Corner.
High school, college, and national sports.
Coaches and call-ins and your take on our opinions in the world of sports.
So join us every Saturday from 10 to noon.
Right here on the Sports Corner, presented by TGMC Community Sports Institute.
10 to noon.
On ESPN 100.3.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover, hour one, is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. Pels taking on the Spurs tonight. 8 p.m. tip. It was 7. It moved it back to 8. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up next hour with Daniel Salerson, Pelicans Radio Network. 8 of 9 have been losses. How do we fix the Pels? That is a question of the day. We'll take your suggestions and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But big topic over the weekend is what's going on over in Detroit. To help us talk a little bit about the Lions, Michael Rothstein joins us. At Mike Rothstein is the way to follow on Twitter. Covers Detroit for ESPN. Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Busy of a week here.
You think? So let's just start with the press conference with Dan Campbell. I loved it. I'm shocked so many people didn't like it. But do you think more people liked it than didn't?
I mean, I think locally, which is really all that matters to Dan Campbell, said as much. Like, this was not for necessarily how the national people felt about it, but for the city of Detroit, its future players, I think went really well. It really gave a jolt and some buzz to an organization that had had apathy for most, if not all, of the last three seasons under Matt Patricia. It certainly got a lot of attention. I thought that he got his message across, and realistically, this is what happened. Dan Campbell talked for 80 to 90 minutes, which you're in the media as well. Gus, you understand an 80 to 90 minute press conference is a rarity to begin with. This is a minute long clip of that. And throughout the rest of the press conference, Dan Campbell was open and honest and very analytical and very forthcoming with what maybe didn't go right in Miami, with what he wanted to turn this team into. But much of the attention has gone about biting kneecaps and taking a hunk out of you on the way down and kicking your, you know, kicking your teeth in at that minute-long clip, which made Jimmy foul.
Here's what I liked about it more than anything else. Sean Payton respected a lot, obviously, with Dan Campbell and views him very, very highly. And, you know, I go back to when he first started, and he's referenced it 100 times, Mike, and I'm sure you've heard it, right? When he talked to Bill Parcells, how do I change a losing franchise and organization? What's going on there? And his response was culture and how to change that. So I loved it because when I played that bite to open the show, when he did it, I was like, he's trying to establish what that DNA and culture is going to be. And that's what you have to do.
Yes, without a doubt. And especially in Detroit, because there are two things culture-wise in Detroit. One is mediocrity or worse, because they have one playoff win in 60 years, and they have not won a division title since 1993, and they've never appeared in the Super Bowl, and the list goes on and on and on. But Barry Sanders, Calvin Johnson retiring, all of those things. And then there's also this. The last 3 years, it was a contentious place to be.
Right.
There were players that did not get along with the head coach. We've heard about that. Darius Slay, Glover Quinn. And when Matt Patricia was fired, this was a very notable thing. In the day of social media, where people talk about everything, not a single Lions player spoke out about Matt Patricia on the day he was fired. And that tells you so much, I think, of what that culture really was like and what was going on in that building. Some of which has gotten out, some of which has not, and how much things needed to change. And Dan Campbell, from everything I can tell and all the people I've spoken to, is the polar opposite of Matt Patricia.
Speaking with Mike Rothstein, covers the Lions for ESPN. Mike, I think one of the things as well, when I think of the Lions, and you mentioned just one playoff win in 60 years and stuff, I still remember the Lions playing the Saints in a playoff game. I remember Matthew Stafford's first game. It was here in New Orleans, and I remember Sean Payton losing his bananas when the headline of the local paper was, you know, what was it, lion bait or rookie bait or something like that. Oh, fresh meat. That's what it was. And he didn't care for that as well. So we've watched Matthew Stafford since the very beginning here. What has he meant to the Lions in just the time that he's been there as well?
In a word, everything. In more words, he holds every significant passing record that the Lions have. Whenever he retires, he will end up in their, they don't really have a ring of honor, but they have guys that are listed. He'll be up there. His name will be up in Ford Field or whatever stadium they end up having after Ford Field, whenever that inevitably changes, you know, 15, 20 years down the road, for eternity, as long as the franchise exists. He became, after Calvin Johnson retired and Ndamukong Suh left, he became the face of the franchise the last 5-6 years. He became very intertwined with the community. He's given millions of dollars to various community efforts. And him and his wife, they've done things that, more things that people don't know than that have actually gotten out publicly, because Matthew Stafford is very, very private with so much of what he does. One thing they do, however, is they do this thing where every year, I thought the past 5 or 6 years, and it's probably been longer than that, just people haven't known about it, they solicit information about families in the Detroit area, and then they pick anywhere between 2 and 5 or 6 of them, and they, every year, but this year, they have to do it virtually this year, they go and surprise those families and pay for their entire business. Like, they don't have to do that. That's just something that they go out and do. And Kelly Stafford spearheads that entire thing, and really runs the entire show, and then her and Matthew show up. And it's really an impressive thing that, you know, never really got even as much attention as it probably should have in Detroit, because mm-hmm. Matthew Stafford would rarely talk about it. And frankly, I asked a couple years ago to go along with them on one of them, and they both of them declined because that's just not what it was about for them. It was about the families, and it was about trying to help people and not any sort of actual attention for it. Yeah. That is what he means to Detroit.
Mike, the news out this weekend that they both mutually agreeing to kind of go their separate ways and try to get a trade, was that surprising? Did you see that coming? Does it make sense, obviously, with the new coach and kind of just changing the page?
Not surprising. The only surprising thing was maybe the timing of it. I did not think that it would come this quick. Now, there was always going to be some sort of artificial deadline on moving Matthew Stafford because he has a $10 million roster bonus due the fifth day of the league year. So if Matthew Stafford was going to be somewhere else in 2021, it was clearly going to be before that date, because you're not going to sink $10 million more into a guy just to trade him along the way. Like, that's just bad business. So that has always been kind of that demarcation line. I was surprised that he actually went and asked for the trade, only because that's so not Matthew Stafford's way. This is a guy who never says a bad word about a teammate, never says a bad word about an organization, even though there's so much around him that's not going well. Mm-hmm. So for him to go and do that probably tells you the level of frustration and concern that was actually going on within him, that he had just kind of said, I don't want to go through another rebuild. More or less. I mean, that's how I take this move after 12 years. So it makes sense for Stafford. We will see if it ends up making sense for the Lions organization. But it's something I think that really had to happen. And after 12 years, it just really felt like probably on both sides it was enough. They tried to make it work, and now they're really trying to have a very amicable breakup.
Mm-hmm. So obviously here in New Orleans, weird times. It's not official yet, but many believe that the next chapter of the Saints under Peyton will be without Drew Brees, again, replacing a Hall of Famer there. Lots of people that cover the team have been writing over the last 24 hours, Matthew Stafford's a guy the Saints should go try to make a play for. What do you think, Mike?
I think they should. I think any team in the league, and I wrote something on ESPN.com today that breaks down, there's like 15, 16 teams in the league that it wouldn't make sense for them to go after Matthew mm-hmm. Stafford, because either they're in a very similar situation to the Lions at the moment, or they have their quarterback. Places like Cincinnati, places like Cleveland, places like Tampa, you know, places like Baltimore. But for every other team in the league, you at least should make the call. See what it's going to take. See if it's worth it. To me, the Saints would make a lot of sense. However, and this is that but, that big but, right, is this. The cap situation in New Orleans, to me, I'm not sure how they can make it work. I mean, they're, what, $99 million over the cap at the moment? Matthew Stafford's going to cost the team, I forget what the exact number is, but it's somewhere between $20 and $25 million against the cap. I just don't know how the Saints do it. Now, maybe they can get creative with the math, as they've done in years past, as we all know, and they can make it happen. And if they do, it absolutely makes a ton of sense for New Orleans to go after Matthew Stafford. And I'd be curious to see what they'd be willing to give up in order to get him, because that's the other big question, is if there are enough teams that are interested, then the Lions can come away with a massive haul because they can create a bidding war. And I don't know how many teams are going to be willing to get into that sort of thing, but if you really want Stafford, you do it. So to me, I think the question with the Saints isn't fit, you would absolutely fit, isn't style of play, that would absolutely make a ton of sense. It would just be, can they actually afford to do it financially?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that a lot of people are going to be paying attention to, Mike, is how do the Saints handle that cap, and do they go for a quarterback or not? And I find this interesting, and we'll close up with this, because obviously you cover the league as well as a team. Doesn't it feel like an NBA offseason that's about to come? So many teams that currently have quarterbacks, whether it's San Francisco and the Rams, could be looking to replace their quarterbacks in Atlanta in this very own division. Even Teddy, you know, you hear from Carolina. Well, maybe they're ready to move on from him. Atlanta could be looking to deal Matt Ryan. It's just, it's so strange. I got a guy in Miami telling me they're not sold on Tua. I mean, it feels like an NBA offseason when it comes to quarterbacks this year.
Oh, absolutely. Now, with Atlanta, I have a tough time seeing them maybe moving on from Matt Ryan right away, just because of similar conversations we're having about cap and money and financially it being viable. But if a team is able to pull it off, I mean, I could see them doing that too, because they've got, what, the number four pick in the draft. You've got a better shot at getting one of those top three quarterbacks. I think it's going to be a fascinating, fascinating offseason, because there's another guy that you didn't mention that yesterday made it sound like he doesn't know what's going to happen either, and that's Aaron Rodgers. And if for some reason Aaron Rodgers, like, Matt Stafford's a really good quarterback, 2 years younger than Aaron Rodgers, but if Aaron Rodgers becomes available, I mean, like, you look at this, and you look at what the quarterback dominoes that could fall, and you could see, what, 15 quarterbacks in different places next year? Because who knows what, I mean, like you said, who knows what happens? Deshaun Watson's situation in Houston is going to be worth monitoring, because where does he go? And then that could trigger a chain reaction on so many different levels, depending on where that happens. Because if it's not for the Jets, then the Jets don't need to use the number two pick on a quarterback, but maybe they send the number two pick back and they use it on a quarterback. Or maybe Houston decides to trade for somebody and that two pick goes somewhere else. I mean, just that one scenario alone. For a league that doesn't make a lot of trades, for a league that even free agency is largely wrapped up by the time free agency starts because of the tampering period, this next 8 weeks could be, like you said, NBA-like, Major League Baseball-like in terms of the movement, in terms of the trades that are going to get done. Because to me, that's the other thing, too. It's very rare to see player-for-player trades in the NFL. And if you're looking at some of these guys that might get moved, if I'm the Lions, maybe a young, really impactful defensive player sweetens that pot enough to get over the hump beyond just draft capital. Like, and maybe you're starting to see players get moved, too. And the really interesting thing about all this, Gus, is if this all goes down, and if this ends up being wild and wacky, you know, all over the place, maybe it sets a precedent for the future of the NFL slowly to move more in that direction. I think we've seen that a little bit during the draft.
Yeah.
I think we've seen it a little bit with other deals and GM being more aggressive. But maybe this is the tipping point to turning that into more of a free-for-all frenzy every year than what we've seen in the past.
Michael, I'll throw in players, too. Starting to feel like players starting to throw their weight as well, man. Good stuff. Good points, as always. Appreciate the time. Should be a fun offseason, man. We'll check in soon.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thanks for having me, Gus.
Thank you, Mike Rothstein. Go check him out over on Twitter. Mike Rothstein covers the Lions, MMA, UFC, boxing. We'll talk about UFC and perhaps boxing with Rafael Esparza, Mr. Vegas, in studio on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
We just hit the wall. Never had it all. One Prozac a day. Husband's a CPA. Her dreams went out the...
Join us for the Start of Something New sales event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat in Houma. You can get a great deal on a Ram today. Check out all of their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram trucker van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But Etail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. on to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing e-tail business can do for you, and that's connecting you to work every day. E-tail is on for business.
Need to see a doctor but don't want to leave the comforts of your home? Terrebonne General Medical Center telehealth is your answer. Our clinics provide same-day virtual appointments. Our highly trained physicians and nurse practitioners are committed to using leading-edge technology to better serve patients navigating the new normal. 70% of patients using virtual appointments for the first time comment on how easy it is to set up. All you need is a smartphone, tablet, or home computer. Visit tgmc.com/mychart to learn more.
With no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, banking with Capital One is like the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Kind of like Taylor Swift choosing what to wear.
It's looking kind of chilly out today. I think I'll go with a cardigan.
Yep, even easier than that. And with our top-rated app, you can bank anytime, anywhere, making Capital One an even easier decision. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
New consumer accounts only. Approval required. Terms apply. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Our thanks to Mike Rothstein there. Number one headline on ESPN.com, Rodgers. I really don't know what's next for me. He throws that in there again. It's honestly weird, Rafael, as we bring you back into the conversation here at VSI Doc Sports. Way to follow you on Twitter. Miami. Do you think they really move on from Tua? I mean, there's a lot of reports there. They're not sold on him, and they're still kind of iffy. Does that sound nuts to you?
Yes and no. I mean, there's just so many quarterbacks that are out there looking for jobs. So if you don't have a Mahomes or an Allen that's putting on their jersey for you every Sunday, I think it's wide open for
right,
everybody.
So show me out here, right? I'm going to fly through this. And just give me, I guess, a yes or no, and they could be looking for quarterback here. Because this is what I'm trying to get, I guess, everyone to kind of just wrap their heads around. Which is why I'm referring it to as an NBA offseason's about to come. Okay, we'll start with the AFC East. Obviously, Bills got their quarterback, right? Okay, next. Miami Dolphins, again, I brought up Tua. There's a lot of Patriots. Need a quarterback?
Yes.
Jets. Lots of talk that they may be moving on from Sam Darnold. Right?
Ask me that question next week.
Okay, but right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's go to the NFC North. Steelers.
Give me a quarterback.
Okay. The Ravens.
No.
Their GM said today or yesterday, whatever, what was the word they used? Well, we certainly think so or something. Whatever. They're gonna extend. The Browns. You think Baker Mayfield gets his extension?
I think so.
Okay. The Bengals have Joe Burrow. Okay. That's probably the best division in football right now, that three of the four teams have a quarterback, right? When you think about it. To the AFC South, Titans. They're probably going to stick with who they got. Okay, Tannehill. Colts.
They're Stafford. I think he's
okay,
there.
Need a quarterback. The Texans. Their quarterback's looking to leave. Okay, so they will need another quarterback.
They need a head coach before you get a quarterback.
Yeah, but they need another. That's right. They still don't have a head coach. Jacksonville. They need a quarterback. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence. Okay. Kansas City, they got the Jordan, who won yesterday again?
Does Kansas City need a quarterback?
One more time. Just say
they need
name.
A quarterback.
No, they don't need a quarterback.
Yes, they do.
Baby goat. Baby goat. The Raiders.
Yes, because Carr is gone.
You think they're – okay, so you said that kind of convincingly. Yeah. Okay, so that's another
keep
team.
Keep an eye out for
Are you keeping tabs on this? Are you counting on your fingies?
No.
I need to know how many teams. Okay. Well, Randy, I'll get to you in a quick second. Chargers got theirs. Broncos.
Need a quarterback.
Need a quarterback. Washington.
Need a quarterback, but I would feel bad for Alex Smith.
Okay, but you, I mean, again.
Yeah,
you,
I know. Yeah.
Giants. They got a quarterback. Yeah. Dallas. What did they do with Dak?
Yeah. That's a name that no one's talking about now. And he's still out there. If he stays, if he goes.
And again, we're saying, hey, Rodgers could force his way to. What if Dak says, you know what, the way I've been treated and all that? I'm out. Now, remember, he wants 40 mil. It's a lot.
It's a lot, but I don't think he gets it now because I think if he requested, there's so many other quarterbacks that can plug in.
Eagles.
I think they're going to keep Carson in that situation one more year.
Okay. Packers.
No, I think they love.
Okay, but they have love. Okay, you go. The Bears, Jordan.
Oh, they're solid. They're set.
Real solid and set, huh?
They need
Vikings. Stay with Cousins.
One more year.
Okay. Lions, Stafford asked for a trade. They'll have a new quarterback. The Saints, they'll have a new starting quarterback. The Bucks, Brian just tweeted or text. What if they win and Brady, you think Brady retires? I don't see anything from his play that makes me think that.
No.
That guy can still fling it.
Yeah.
I think he wants to win as many as possible.
Yes.
I mean, honestly. And I'm looking at that division next year. Who's beating me in that division right now in my mind, right? I mean, it's going to be the Saints they'll be battling with, maybe?
Eesh. What they have on the roster now. And
but you get what I'm getting at? Yeah. I have a good shot of winning the division if I come back. Panthers. It's a lot of talk of Teddy's, right? Falcons. I think they deal Matt Ryan.
I think one more year of Matt Ryan.
You think one more Matt Ryan. Okay. Mm-hmm. Seattle, they got Russell. The Rams. I mean, there's way too many stories. Who we had on, Nikki K, remember?
Yes.
Nikki came on and goes, she said flat out, he's not going to be the quarterback next year, which is shocking to me when you think about it. The Cardinals, Murray's not going anywhere. And finally, the 49ers. All the reports are they're not happy with Jimmy G.
Maybe Jimmy G comes here. He would love the Bourbon Street with all the strip
quarters. Huh? Yeah. Stop it. Yeah. But my point is, there are a lot of teams in the NFL that are either going to be switching, moving on, or looking for a new quarterback. Randy, thanks for holding on, man. What you got for us, man?
Hey, what's up, Gus? What's up, Trubiscus? man, I was wondering if y'all seen what Michael Thomas put on Twitter yesterday during the NFC Championship game.
Yes, I did see that. I don't know if Gus saw it.
What was that?
I don't know if it might have been a shot over at Drew Brees.
Oh, it definitely was. But I've never seen Sean Payton really kind of put up with a player, you know, that causes trouble in the locker room. But when you're dealing with Detroit, you know, you're going to be dealing with a head coach who knows all your players and your organization inside and out. So, you know, I think it would kind of be hard to trade with Detroit because Dan Campbell knows the organization, knows what we have. And I would trade Michael Thomas. I just don't see a team that would be willing to pick up that contract. What you think?
Well, I mean, again, it's what are you getting? And at some point in time, whether it's now or later, Raphael, you're going to be paying for top players at one point in time. Remember, in the world of the NFL, we'll take it on now, and then we can always cut you. I mean, you know, it's like, so remember, that's the one thing that's different from the NBA or something like that. Those are guaranteed. You bring in another player, somehow, some way, it's you or somebody else is paying guaranteed money on that. Joe,
yeah, here's the Michael Thomas tweet that he was referring to. If a defensive back knows the quarterback can't throw deep, they're going to play aggressive underneath with safety help over the top.
Yeah, that, I mean, there's no other way to take that, right? And quite honestly, now going on the Twitter battle with the defensive back with Tampa.
Who's you're on the couch.
You know how I felt about this back in week 3 or 4 when he got benched? I mean, I said it then and I'll reiterate it again. I'm calling the top 5 teams who wants the number one receiver, numbers top 60, whatever, top 10. Who wants a number one receiver? And I'll gladly take that for just swap the pick. I'll give you the player, give me your draft pick. We're good.
You would fit well in Dallas.
I mean, again, what do you want? I mean, that's just me. I could be wrong on that, but Randy, you never know.
Yeah, I mean, and also too,
because that's a tweet that just, I don't even know why you make, you know, Randy?
Right. I think because he wants out. I think he wants out of the Saints. And if that's the case, I mean, you know, we got rid of good offensive players before and the train keeps rolling with Sean Payton. But I mean, as far as what Triplett said earlier, you know, if you get rid of Michael Thomas, who are you throwing the ball to? Well, I mean, Sean Payton will go find somebody in the 7th round and, you know, throw some cleats on him, he'll be an all pro. Mm-hmm. But as far as what I think is interesting, it's kind of like the Belichick thing. You know, when do you start looking at Kamara and get, because he's a running back at the end of the day. So do you kind of get rid of him a year or two early and maybe get a treasure chest for him? Or, you know, do you have a $15 million running back and let the contract play out?
I hear you, man. Thank you, Randy. Hit the top of the hour. I have to hit the first break. We can discuss this a little bit more, man, as we go. Appreciate it. Raphael, we can talk about that. Jordan, real quick, in 10 seconds. Two untradeables, or who? for the Saints?
Oh, Ryan Ramczyk and Alvin Kamara.
Who do you not trade if you're the Saints?
Everyone's open.
Everyone, even Kamara?
Everyone's open.
That's all the time we have for Rafael Esparza. Unfortunately, we like him, so he'll be here next hour, which is like a minute from now. Don't go anywhere. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. All